Our guest is going to explain that all to us, and he's the director of Federal Public Defender. His name is David Patton. Welcome to the air, David.
Thanks, Paul.
Great to have you on. Thanks for taking time on such short notice to join us. But we know there's a lot of people suffering here in Brooklyn at this jail that has no heat, although now the officials are saying, in fact, it does have heat. You had an opportunity to be there today, I believe. Could you tell us what the situation really is at this facility, and maybe begin by telling us where it is and what it is?
Sure. The MDC is the Metropolitan Detention Center. It's one of two federal detention centers in New York City. The other is in downtown Manhattan. This one's in Sunset Park in Brooklyn. It houses roughly 1,600, mostly pretrial inmates, meaning people who've been charged with federal crimes who are being detained prior to trial. There is a small mix of people who've been sentenced and are actually serving their sentence there, but that's a small percentage of the population there.
How many people is that?
In total at the facility?
Yeah, would you know that number?
Roughly 1,600.
1,600. And could you tell us now, the reports, it started coming to us in the news, I think yesterday before, that they just had no heat. And this is at a time when the outside temperature was well below zero. I took a look at my phone at the time, it was -4. Is that what was happening? Because then I read today's paper, the officials are denying that that's what happened.
Yeah, the heating is sporadic. From what we've been able to understand, this all came to light to our attention last Sunday, so about 6 days ago. They reported to us that there had been a small electrical fire, and it was affecting the lighting in the visiting rooms, the rooms where both families and attorneys meet with their clients there. But they said everything else is fine. And then as the days wore on and they were continuing to cancel legal visiting, we started to get calls from some of our clients. There's one dedicated phone in the prison where they can just dial directly to our office. None of the other phones were operating that they would normally use to call their family or others. And they started telling us these horror stories that they were operating on emergency lighting in the common areas, but the cells were completely dark, that they were being locked down for extended periods of time. And you have to understand they're held two to a cell in these small spaces. And in normal times, for most of the time, you're out in sort of a common unit area. And so to be locked down for long stretches, 24 or 36 hours at a time, in this tiny space in the dark with a cellmate, is A, very dangerous, and B, just very tough on our clients. And keep in mind, these are pretrial. They haven't been convicted of anything.
Right. And that means you're innocent.
That's right. So they're being denied any sort of contact with the outside world, including their lawyers, their loved ones. And so, and we were hearing sporadic reports about the heating. Now, we've come later to understand that the heating problems actually predated the electrical fire. Some of the COs have pulled us aside and said, you know, the heating problem started a week earlier. Now, it's not that the entire institution doesn't have heat. There was never a time when the entire institution didn't have heat, but from unit to unit, and sometimes even within the units from cell to cell, there are areas that at some point have either had no heat and where it was you know, quite cold. Some reports, and you know, we have no way of verifying this other than the reports we've received from the corrections officers themselves and our clients, which seems like a pretty good source, that at times it was in the 30s and 40s in certain parts of the institution. Today, when we went in, the big thing you notice is just the lighting and the lockdown. We were in there between roughly 1 and 3 o'clock this afternoon, was there with fairly significant number of local politicians, and Congressman Nadler and Congresswoman Velasquez. They were all locked down. They've been on lockdown since at least Thursday afternoon.
What does lockdown mean?
That means they're in their cells, in their double bunk cells. I don't know what the precise dimensions of the cell is, but it's maybe 6 by 10. I don't know, maybe a little bigger than that. But there's no lighting in the cell itself. There's lighting outside in the common area. During the day, there's some lighting that comes in. There's a little bit that comes in from the common areas at night, but not much. It's pretty much pitch black in those cells. We were meeting with people at 2 o'clock. They hadn't yet been fed. The food service has been sporadic. I think the electrical problems have impacted the elevators, which is how they bring the food up. Some of the cells were very cold. There was one cell we came across that had a temperature reading of 50 degrees. Others were more normal, although, frankly, even normal is cold. The normal readings are in the high 60s, but you have to understand that unless you have extra money to pay at the commissary for long sleeve clothing, the standard uniform are these short sleeve, what look like hospital scrubs, and are about that flimsy in terms of the material. And so, imagine a well-conditioned, air-conditioned office space where you are in flimsy short sleeves for prolonged periods of time. Even that is cold. And so, it ranges from the merely uncomfortable to the downright dangerous in terms of the temperatures. But it's all over the place. And in fact, in some cells, it was too hot. You had people taking off their shirts because it was overheated in certain areas. So, the institution just has a real, real problem with overall maintenance.
Is this a long-term problem, a chronic problem that's become more of an acute crisis because of the cold in the last few days?
Well, it became an acute crisis with the loss of power. So, the complete shutdown of all visitation and no lighting, that's been going on now for a week, and that's a real crisis regardless of temperature, and that's not normal. So you're right that conditions are pretty lousy most of the time. Medical care is not great. All the things we've been talking about happen from time to time, but as bad as it normally is, it's much worse right at the moment.
What about the relatives? I've seen the loved ones outside today, videos, and it showed people who have been unable to talk to their loved ones for quite some time now, their own children in some cases.
That's right, yeah. Part of the cancellation of visitation, it includes family. They've had no contact. People just want to know how their loved one is doing. They have no way of contacting.
What are the rules for a federal prison, for a prison in general? I thought that prisoners, especially if they haven't been convicted, but I would assume convicted or not, require certain basic rights as far as living conditions.
They do. In fact, even the BOP regulations themselves for pretrial detainees require daily access to your attorney, so they're obviously violating that. And then there are also just constitutional requirements. And we think that they're violating those. We started filing emergency motions on Thursday. We've now filed quite a few, asking either for release or transfer to some other facility that can appropriately handle them. So far, none of those have been acted on. The judges have set them for hearings on Monday and Tuesday. And then there's also the possibility of a broader civil rights action, which I think is probably something that we're going to file soon.
Right. I guess with all the things we've been following about NYCHA and conditions with over 5,000 apartment units out of 400,000, you know, people being deprived heat and hot water for months and sometimes even years at a time, I imagine in a prison you might find even worse conditions.
Absolutely. And you know, unfortunately, probably less public sympathy or concern from the public at large most times. You know, some of I've been trying to keep up with some of the headlines on what's going on now. And of course, there are a lot of headlines that focus on some of their least popular inmates at the institutions and say, you know, so-and-so is complaining. and so-and-so is somebody who's you know, been excoriated in the press. And, you know, that's all well and good. There might be half a dozen people who are sort of notorious and disliked publicly. But first of all, that's not the case for the other roughly 1,600. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you know, no matter what somebody has done or how much you may dislike them, when the state takes on the responsibility of providing for somebody and puts them in a cage, they have a responsibility to do it humanely at a bare minimum level of appropriate care, including contact with the outside world and medical care and appropriate temperature and lighting and safety. And that's just not happening right now.
What can people do on the outside? Is there anything we can do? People are concerned.
You know, there was a great rally out there today. A lot of people came out. I think it had a big impact. Obviously, that further encourages our local politicians, who were terrific today. I give Congressman Nadler and Congresswoman Velasquez a lot of credit. They were very stern with the warden. I was with them for 2 hours as they weighed into him about what's going on. So they deserve a lot of credit for pushing the issue. And everybody who came out and braved the cold and stood out with signs out front of the institution today really deserves a lot of credit. So, you know, reach out to your local representatives. We haven't heard from, or I haven't anyway, heard from Senators Schumer or Gillibrand on this, but they would obviously be important voices because this is a federal facility, and the Bureau of Prisons, you know, doesn't always care so much what the locals think about things. It's the feds who have control over their budget and can haul them before a hearing that they pay attention to. And so, you know, reach out to Senator Schumer, reach out to Senator Gillibrand, and let them know how you feel.
Is this another reason why we don't like Trump in New York, or is this could have happened under any president?
Sadly, I don't know that this has anything to do with party. You know, it's hard to know how much of this was exacerbated by the shutdown. So if you want to blame Trump for the shutdown and that may have contributed to this, I don't know. We certainly had shutdown-related problems. There were severe staffing shortages during the shutdown, which led to some pretty bad conditions as well. But this all started, you know, on the heels of that. Now, were there maintenance issues because they were short-staffed or because they weren't paying contractors? I don't have the answers to that, and they won't tell us.
I guess they're very not much transparency, it seems.
Oh, God, that's an understatement.
I see. An understatement. Very interesting. That's, I guess, the story of the hour. Thank you so much for joining us, David Patton, Director of Federal Defenders. Really appreciate you taking the time on such short notice to get on the air with the WBAI audience and to let us know what's happening at the MDC Brooklyn with no heat or electricity or hot water. All right. We're going to keep after this story, so definitely stay in touch.
Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Thank you very much. And that was David Patton. He's the director of Federal Defenders, and he's talking about what's been going on at the MDC in Brooklyn, which for at least a week turns out much longer. There's been a lot of problems, but has been acute crisis in the last week of a lack of electricity and heat in much of the building, and attorneys not being able to get in touch with their clients, families not being able to get in touch with their loved ones. I'm Paul DiRienzo. This is